Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The text for today is from the Gospel lesson of St. John, the 6th chapter, wherein we hear the crowd found him, Jesus, on the other side of the sea. They said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. So far the text. Greetings to you all from the Concordia Seminary in Fort Wayne, and our president, the Reverend Dr. Lawrence Rast. It is good, Lord, to be here. As some of you have heard as you were walking in, I was born in Dayton, grew up a little bit in Medway, then went to Eton High School and University of Cincinnati. So it is truly good, Lord, to be back in these old stomping grounds again. In our gospel lesson today, we hear of a crowd that gathered around Jesus, and they did quite a few different things, but some things they did exactly like their forefathers did. In fact, this crowd grumbled, but so did their forefathers before Moses, didn't they? They had Moses, the very voice of God at that time, who proclaimed with Aaron all that God would do for them as they moved out of Egypt. And now we see another crowd gathered around Jesus. They had watched him feed the 5,000. You heard that a couple of weeks ago. And then you've heard him that Jesus walked on water, and that Jesus then came across the sea without the disciples. And this crowd did do something that we all would do in a second. We would run 10 miles around a lake just to go to church, wouldn't you? Yeah, I would. Sure, Pastor. Yeah, you're a visitor. You're not going to be here next week, so I could say yes. But this crowd gathered around Jesus, and there was a revelation there because Jesus told them that the bread that they had eaten, they had not eaten it because of the reason they thought they ate it. Well, if that's not confusing enough, Jesus gently teaches that crowd what he meant by being the bread of life. They saw great signs. They saw Jesus perform miracles. Jesus said, not only that, but there are promises in those signs and their miracles. I am that promise, and I will bring you to eternal life. Now, this crowd had seen those signs and miracles, but they certainly didn't understand. This is the day that Jesus told the people who he was in their presence. The crowd had missed all those signs, and they had missed the promise as well. They had their fill of earthly bread or Skittles and had been amazed. So much so, I didn't get a Skittle. So much so that the people in the boats and the others ran around that lake, like I said before. They ran 10 miles to go to church, something we do every Sunday. And Jesus tells them that their desire for him is that they wanted to be fed more. They had eaten the bread. They had seen the miracles, but they didn't see from whence the bread came. Kind of like those wanderers in the wilderness with Moses as well. As we heard in our Old Testament lesson that Moses brought that bread, and no, Jesus will correct that, and he will say that bread didn't come from Moses. That bread came from God. Jesus has a desire to be with this crowd because they had seen the signs, they had their fill of bread, they had seen the bread multiplied. They had found the baskets. They knew that there were more in the baskets than when they started. But they missed the point that that bread had come from their Father in heaven. So the crowd really missed the promise. They missed the little tiny thing that all those crumbs were gathered back to be shared with another crowd. Jesus says, "You are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures." Those are strange words. That's a hard hearing. We hear that in Scripture. Food that doesn't perish? Again, they struggle with an understanding. But St. Paul helps us as well. They were walking with futility in their minds. They were walking in darkened understanding, and they were alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that was in them due to their hardness of heart. Wow. We just need to turn on the TV and hear that piece of Scripture, don't we? Abandoned the gift of God. Ignorance was in them, and there was hardness of heart. Sounds just like today. These people gathered had their ancestors were the Israelites. They were the same ones that grumbled in the wilderness because, well, they'd been given free food and free drink, but it wasn't what they wanted. Manna from heaven came down as fine frost upon the ground, but the manna did not keep. It would spoil at the end of the day. Unless this crowd thought that they needed to work for God's gift, Jesus continues, "But the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." That seal has been placed on you as well. The Greek word there, I have to do this because all pastors do this to you. The Greek word is spragidzai is the word. Spragidzai. Turn to your neighbor during this COVID time and say, spragidzai. The seal of the Holy Spirit is on you as well. For you have been baptized with the water combined with God's word, and the mark of the cross has been placed upon your forehead and upon your chest as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. In this crowd is Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, upon whom God had set his seal. And that gift from God had promises attached to it. And he offered to them the food of eternal life, that food which you have received by hearing God's word, by being baptized with the water combined with God's word, by receiving the holy supper of our Lord, wherein we receive God's true body and blood. And what does the crowd do? The crowd asked the same question that people ask today. What must we do to be doing the works of God? Everybody likes a checklist, don't they? We want a checklist so we can go along and say, yep, I've done that. Yep, I've done that. Yep, I've done that. And well, that's a very good way to manage yourself and manage your work, maybe manage your home as well, to make sure all that should be done is done. That checklist doesn't work at all with our Lord, because all the boxes are already checked. And it's a free gift of God. All that has been done is done in Christ. It is finished. He has completed it. It is done. Now, that's not to say that because of what Christ has done, we are called to share that gospel with all whom we meet. And that's not law. That's gospel. We are to share that word with everyone we meet, that brother, that cousin, that uncle, the person at the checkout line, and maybe just that one person in your family that, or someone you know, that you don't want to share anything with. You're called to share the gospel with that person as well. We all have one of those people. Because of God's grace, we are called to share the gospel with everyone we meet. And sometimes that's a hard deal. Jesus tells this crowd, this is the work of God. Salvation is the work of God. That bread from heaven for Moses was the work of God, not the work of the men and women who picked it up and doubled their share on Saturday. It was rather the work that came from God. It is God's work, not the work of man. And Jesus is telling them again that Jesus has done it, and with that, there is the promise. And they were to believe in him. Yet again, all the crowds were thinking about their stomachs, Moses and the manna. These people that had received the gift of the 5,000 in the miracle. Martin Luther writes this about those crowds. This announcement that the gospel would fill their bellies, that it would provide plentiful for this life and afford a good living, pleases them. They say, as it were, this would be the man for us. Would it not be him? We too would like such a preacher. They pay no attention to Christ's words to learn where he wants to lead them, but they're happy over the prospect that he will fill their bellies and give them only earthly goods and money. Again, that's not the point. The gospel does not feed the belly. It has something different to do. So far, Luther, what a great guy. He's just so nice. To the point. And he's right. Our Lord does give us all that we need, the air to breathe, our food and drink each and every day. And we praise him for that. He sustains us from day to day. But he gives us Jesus Christ, who sustains us not only for this day, but for day everlasting. So Luther's words rang true in our time. We are the grumbling crowd of today. We'd rather hear a joyful sermon of gospel rather than hear the law. Don't remind us of our sin. We just want that bread of life without recognizing that we have sinned. The gospel is proclaimed by Jesus to us as well. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. With these words, Jesus makes it clear that it is he. And he is speaking a different kind of bread than the bread that we receive in this life. Jesus said, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. Truly, these are words that we can never understand. At least we cannot understand these words of Christ by our own reason or strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, we believe these words. By the gift of faith given by the Holy Spirit, we believe in Jesus Christ. And by that gift of faith, we believe that Jesus is the eternal food and drink who will keep us alive in him to eternity. For just as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, so also the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. God, in his infinite knowledge and perfect wisdom, gives not what you want, but he gives you exactly what you need. both here in time and there in eternity. And we still see that promise, that eternal miracle of the one who was sent for us, our manna from heaven, the one who still feeds us with the eternal life from day to day. That promise was fulfilled when Jesus paid our sins upon the cross. The promise is fulfilled when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us in the saving waters of our baptism. The promise is fulfilled when we hear His holy word proclaimed in the readings, when we read the Bible. We receive that same promise when we partake of the sacrament of our Lord and receive His true body and blood. A promise that we are freely given by grace. A promise that tells us that God has provided for us for all time. We are filled by the bread of life, not by work, not by want, not by desires, not by our own reason and strength, but rather by God giving us His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and all our sins on the cross. On Jesus, God the Father has set His seal. In our baptism, we are sealed by the water combined with God's word, and we are sealed as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Our Lord, in the Holy Supper, gives us the bread of life, and in His blood, we eat and drink the forgiveness of sins, which renews and refreshes us in this world that wants to deny us every single day. In Christ, we have the power to believe, and in Him we shall never hunger, and we shall never thirst. God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the bread that sustains us. And so we see, our eyes are opened, and we believe in His everlasting name. And we live in Him to all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise if we are able to repeat together the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ,